Episode 21, Zero-Based Budgeting with Jen Nielsen from We'll Save for Travel.
Welcome to the First Year Married podcast, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm marriage coach Kayla Levin, and I take newly married and engaged women from anxious and insecure to confident and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way.
Hey ladies, welcome back. I am so excited. I'm bringing you another interview really early on in the month. We just had an interview with Rena Reiser just 2 episodes ago. And now I'm bringing you Jen, but I thought this would be a great way to kick off our Money in May theme. We're really focusing in this month on how money affects our relationships, tips for dealing with our money better, managing our minds with money, all sorts of things to do with money. And Jen is an expert in the idea of zero-based budgeting, but what I love is that she really has her own flavor. And she gets that everyone has their own unique approach to personal finance. I really think you're going to enjoy her interview. One of the things that I really got out of it was that she's very clear on what it is that she's saving this money for. And I think that makes this whole thing really empowering and exciting. So I would love to hear from you. I can't wait to hear what you think of this interview. Again, her blog is We'll Save for Travel. And you can also find her on Instagram over there too for lots of great tips. I hope you enjoy and we'll be in touch.
Okay. Well, hi, Jen. Thank you so much for coming today. I am really, really excited because I know how valuable it is to get your head around the money thing, especially early in marriage. So I'm so grateful for you for coming on today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Let's sort of step back for a second. If you could just talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, what relationship you have with this whole question of budgeting and finance.
For sure. So I wasn't always good with money, shocker. my parents would laugh when they tell you that I spent every dollar that I ever got as a child. As soon as money came into my hand, I was wanting to go to the store to spend it. As an adult, I had to really look at my relationship with money because I knew that spending every dollar that I ever had would not put me in the place that I wanted to be in. Travel is a really big priority in our life. And so in order to travel more, we knew we were going to have to manage our money better. My husband and I have been, we've been together for 10 years and we've been married for almost 4. So when we got married, we both had student loan debt, which was taking up a pretty big chunk of our monthly budget. And so we decided about a year and a half ago that it was time to really sit down and look at it and come up with a plan. And that was around the same time when the blog was born. So we started in September of 2017 with $26,556.64 worth of debt.
Right now, today we're student loans.
That is just student loans. So,
okay, so Jen, you have to, this outs you as a Canadian.
Yes, that is probably true.
Because that's about half a year of an American student.
Yeah. Loan. So, that wasn't our starting. My right. student loan at that point was already gone. So I had about $15,000 of student loans, but I graduated in 2010. Mm-hmm. So I had already paid that off. And my husband has a university degree and then went back to school while we were together. So I know it does definitely out me as a Canadian and that it could be way worse, but you can still use the same principles in paying down $100,000 worth of debt as you do $40,000.
Absolutely. And I think for anybody, whatever amount it is, I think feels overwhelming regardless.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever your number is, it's too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. And so early on in your marriage, you're starting to see that already these finances, which are coming in from beforehand, are now affecting your goals as a couple.
For sure. Yeah.
Can you share the name of your blog and your Instagram handle?
Yeah, for sure. So my blog is willsaveforTravel.com. And our Instagram is at willsaveforTravel, as well as on Twitter is willsave4travel.
So I just love it because, you know, you're putting the goal out there right away, right? So
sure.
And I think that it must have been so much more motivating for you, but I love it. It's almost like a mantra, like, yeah. I will do it. I will do it for travel. It's worth it for travel.
It is.
Yeah. Instead of it just sort of feeling like you're climbing out of a hole for no particular reason, here you really have put in that goal for yourself. So I think that makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. Okay, so what I really wanted to get from you, because I think you have really articulated the benefits and sort of the how-to of the zero-based budgeting system, which we both know comes from Dave Ramsey, although I think a lot of people have adopted it at this point.
Yeah.
I even did a couple of podcasts ago, the zero-based calendar, which is an episode called Why You Don't Have Enough Time, which is inspired by this idea of zero-based budgeting because I found it to be really helpful. So instead of me rattling on about what I think zero-based budgeting is, could you take the expert moment and sort of give us a rundown for somebody who really has never heard about it before, or they don't really know, you know, how they should go about budgeting? What is this particular way of looking at your budget?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to start off before I go into really budgeting by saying I believe that personal finance is personal. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to managing your money, either on your own or with a partner. I mentioned Dave Ramsey, and while zero-based budgeting was definitely made popular by him, I don't necessarily follow his baby steps that he has laid out. I think it can be a great program for some people, but I don't think it's the end all be all. So I just wanted to throw that out there because people tend to see one thing and think this is the only way that you can do it. And I don't think that's correct. So,
and that's also because you can take some pieces of wisdom from different things. And if you become very dogmatic, then it's kind of when you could end up throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Absolutely. I'll describe to you how I use zero-based budgeting. Maybe it's not the exact way that some other people use it, but so basically the idea behind zero-based budgeting is every dollar that you earn has a job. So every dollar that comes in is allocated for something, whether it's paying your mortgage, buying your groceries, paying off your debt, or saving for something like a down payment or a vacation. I believe in paying yourself first. The first thing that you do when your money comes in is save it or use it to repay debt, which is essentially paying yourself, because once your debt is paid off, that money will be freed up in your budget to go wherever you want to. And then use the money that after that saving goal and debt repayment is made, use that money left over to, you know, buy your groceries and that sort of thing. It does not mean that your account's going to go to zero at the end of the month. I know the, you know, name zero-based budgeting kind of lends itself to thinking that you might go down to zero. But the idea is that you should have like a float in your account. So an amount of money, either a couple hundred dollars or a couple thousand or whatever you're comfortable with having there, just in case of unforeseen circumstances. I mean, you never know when something might pop up that you use your debit card and you don't want to be going into overdraft, you know, if it's a couple of dollars. So if you're living paycheck to paycheck now and you are going either to zero or worse than zero at the end of the month, you need to build that into your budget and to build up a float first before doing any money. Because if you don't have a float and you have an unexpected bill or whatever, you could be going back into debt, which is definitely not the direction that we want to be heading in.
And I want to interrupt you just for a second and say, because I think that there are a lot of people, especially early on in their marriages, you know, I think there's, you sort of have this multi-edged obstacle in that often people are early on in their career, so they're not really making, you know, a lot of money yet. And they're having to maybe furnish a house or an apartment. Mm-hmm. There can be a lot of expenses early on. And
for sure.
There, you know, it's very normal in some cases for people to really struggle with money in the very beginning. And what I see happen is that it can, instead of it just sort of being like the way, I love the way you're talking about it, because you're looking at it in a very like, this isn't what I want, right? Like what I want is to get out of debt. What I want is to start to build this.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everyone listening to just really tune in to if you're adding guilt into this situation, or you're adding blame because you feel like maybe it's one of your faults or the other or whatever. Like once you get there and you know, you combine the debt, you're married now. This is sort of something, this is one of those great opportunities you get early on in your marriage to say, we can sort of stand shoulder to shoulder and tackle this together. Mm-hmm. And it starts to form that relationship of it's us as a team, right? Instead of when you're dating where it's more kind of figuring each other out and do you fit into my life? Do I fit into your life? It actually is a huge opportunity. It's not an obstacle you guys need to overcome. It's one of the things that's going to build you as a couple, so that when other things come down the road, you already have some experience in when we stand shoulder to shoulder, when we, you know, support each other, when we don't, you know, blame each other, then we know we can do this and we've done this before.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that I had to reconcile myself with early and even before we were married, but you see what your parents have, and sometimes you forget that how long it took them to get there. I see, you know, my parents traveling often or having, you know, nice things, you know, either a car or a new whatever, house renovation. And I have to remember that how much further ahead in life they are. Mm-hmm. I know, like, the comparison trap happens even between a parent and a child, I find. Mm-hmm. And especially when my husband and I first got married and we bought our house, and I wanted it to be, you know, I wanted to buy all the furniture. I wanted to upgrade the appliances. And it's like, you have to remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And you can't just go out and buy everything new right away and just kind of gradually, you know, do any changes that you want to. But the comparison trap is real.
Yes. And especially because, you know, especially if you're trying to go the zero-based budget way and you're trying to pay off debt first and mm-hmm. build up savings for those things and pay them in cash down the line, then you're also seeing a peer group that at least some of your peers are going and putting everything on credit.
Yeah, that's the, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, but the Joneses are broke kind of situation. You don't know what anybody else has going on in their life. So yeah, I just have to really be, I have to be mindful myself. And I like to remind everybody else that I kind of talk to you to remember that just because they have it doesn't mean they're not in debt. And you know, just because they have it doesn't mean you can't have it. You just need to save for it.
Right. Right. Okay. So for a couple who is like super excited and really wants to try and go this direction, what would you recommend for them? How do they sit down and get started? What should they do?
So the first month is going to be the hardest because you've never done it before. You should sit down together and just write out all of your like necessary expenses, like your rent or your mortgage, you know, a car payment if you have one, your student loan or any debt that you have. Just figure out what all those necessary expenses is. And then as well, figure out what your income is. So if you have a super stable income, that's going to be a lot easier. I have been self-employed for almost 10 years, and my husband's income also varies a little bit. So it's a little bit more challenging. But in general, we have a usual amount that comes in. And then as well, I usually kind of make an income goal for myself, so I know how much money I have to make that month to make the budget work. Once you have your income and your necessary expenses, you can subtract that, and then you'll have a budget or amount left over that you can kind of divide between things that are variable. So like groceries, entertainment, you know, clothing, and that kind of stuff. Budgets are never perfect. I do a new budget every month. I think that's the best way to go because you're not going to be able to make one budget that's going to fit for every month. Every month is different. You know, if you have a birthday or if you need to buy for a holiday or anything like that, of course, it's going to throw a wrench into your budget. So your budget for December is not going to be the same as August or April. So I definitely make a new one every month and look at what expenses we have coming up that month so we can plan for them.
I think that's great also because instead of looking at it as I didn't do a good enough job with my budget, it's not that. It's that that is the nature of a budget. You just have to look at it again each month because it's supposed to be different.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this every month for almost 2 years and we go over budget. You know, I don't look at it as a failure. It's a, okay, what can we do next month to make sure this doesn't happen? Or what can we do in the future to make sure this doesn't happen? Or what came up that we weren't expecting? And is there a way to make sure that doesn't happen again? So for example, we recently had a car trouble and it wiped out our entire emergency fund. It made me really think like, you know, our car is 7 years old. We should be saving for either a new one or repairments again, because realistically your car's going to break down. Yeah. We save a little bit every month now so that it won't destroy our budget again. Mm. After you start budgeting, you'll really realize that it's not restrictive. Like it's actually a tool and it shows us where we spend money and, you know, things that we might be spending on that aren't actually important to us. And then we can cut that back and put that money towards something that is really important to us.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think I probably started with zero-based budgeting around the same time in my marriage as you, like a couple years in when you sort of start to realize you have to pay more. Somehow you just have to pay so much more attention when there's two people.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe that's just because you have to explain it to somebody why there's no money.
Yes, you have to be a little bit more accountable to somebody. Right.
But I'm the same as you, I don't know that I'm definitely not always perfect on my budget, but I just find that it's better. You know, we do better with our money. We're more tuned into it. It's kind of, I think I said this in the zero-based calendar episode, that if you sort of know you have some amount of money left over, you end up spending like 10x that, you know, like you think like, I'll probably have 200 at the end of the month. Like you spend, not 2000, but you definitely go over 200 because you're really thinking, okay, what could 200 actually get me? And let me decide what I'm going to spend on it.
Yeah.
Even if that's just saying, okay, so let's each take $100 for fun. You know, I guess we could talk about that later, but where if I actually sit down and I say like, okay, it's 200 that's left over and I want to save half of it or whatever I plan, then even if I mess up a little bit, I'm messing up in the tens and twenties more often than before, where it was just, it seemed like money was sort of flying out the cracks and I wasn't really sure where it was going.
Yeah. So the way that we've actually paid off most of our debt is by that money left over at the end of the month. You know, if it's $20, if it's $200, if it's $2,000, we send it to the debt. And so that's how we've paid off the majority of our debt quickly.
Do you do the debt snowball? Like, do you start with the lowest amount or
no, I did not, which is why that's one of the reasons we're not following Dave Ramsey. Right. My husband's student loans were broken up into two different loans. One of them was quite small. It was around $5,000. And where I live, the province of Nova Scotia, student loans are interest free. So it wasn't charging us any interest. And meanwhile, we had another $21,000 that was, you know, being charged interest over $2 a day. So it didn't make any sense to me to pay off the smaller amount first, just because we were getting dinged with interest so bad on the other one.
Right. While you're in the middle of this debt journey, for some people, they're able to knock this out in the course of 6 months to a year. And for some people, this is more of a marathon, like you said. So for people where this is a longer process, do you reward yourself along the way? How do you deal with things like, you know, going on a trip together? I know you love travel, things like that. How do you deal with that?
Yeah. So I knew it was going to take us around 2 years. We actually should be less than 2 years, but I wasn't willing to give up travel for 2 years in order to do this. So we still traveled while we were paying off debt. And so how we did that was just by saving for it. So we weren't willing to go further into debt to travel. I think that's really important to note, that anything you want to do, I'm definitely not a believer of going further into debt in order to do it. But we just saved every month in order to afford traveling. We could have paid off our debt faster. It would be paid off by now, but we've taken some amazing trips with the two of us and with our families. And so that's how we've kind of balanced it. I mean, some people, Dave Ramsey followers, like to be gazelle intense, and they don't believe that you should do any of this while you're paying off debt. But I definitely wasn't willing to give it up for 2 years. So I just think we call it sinking funds. So every month, just sending some money over to a sinking fund, so a savings account that you wouldn't touch with your debit card. And then once you have enough to pay for the trip, booking the trip and paying for it that way.
Oh, neat. Okay. And so how do you balance how much you're putting towards the debt and how much you put towards the sinking fund?
We definitely send more to debt than we do the sinking fund. It was kind of a general, where do we want to go and how much would that cost? Mm-hmm. And
so you have a goal of a trip in mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
It's the same way I would save for it even after the debt is gone.
Right. And so the one little nuance that you said that I think is really great is that you're saying you put it towards the sinking fund, but you're not booking the trip in anticipation of, I'm sure I'll have the money by then.
Right.
You are actually waiting until the money is in the account. I mean, I know there are people who are listening, because I've been one of them, that this whole idea of like actually never putting anything on a credit card is a little mind boggling. Right?
For sure. Yeah. We have credit cards, but like we don't use them unless the money is in an account to pay it off and that thing has been planned for in advance. Mm-hmm. So nothing sits on our credit card waiting for money to come in to pay for it.
Right. Okay. So speaking of that, then when it comes to, a new couple, especially I see this happens a lot more when couples have had longer, more careers and they've been out in the world a little bit longer. What do you think in terms of separate or joint bank accounts? And I'm very curious if we agree on this.
Yes, it will be. So I will say that I had a joint bank account with my husband before we were married, which worked fine for us, but I've definitely seen situations where, the couple breaks up and then it's a lot more challenging.
Really sticky. Yep.
Very sticky. So I believe in having a joint account. I believe that it helps you be accountable to another person and helps you work on things together. But I really don't think that there is a right answer. Like it depends on the couple. I mean, I've seen situations where, if you've been married previously and you have kids from a previous relationship, how that could be, something that you should talk to your partner about and see what you both want. But the way we do it, we actually have separate accounts and as well as joint accounts. So we get paid into our main joint account. Both of our paychecks go in there. And that's kind of like the heartbeat of our budget. Everything kind of goes out from there. But once a month, we each get an allowance that goes into a personal account, and we can spend that however we want. So, and the other person can't see that account. They have no idea what you're spending it on. So if you want to spend your whole allowance on takeout coffee or a video game or whatever you want to spend it on, like that's up to you. And it's definitely, saves some fights about money because it doesn't affect the overall budget. You can do whatever you want with that allowance money.
Yeah. So we actually do the allowance money in, I think we call it fun money or pocket money, but mm-hmm. we do that as cash. So it's really similar in that, the money's going into the same accounts and then we each get a little bit. And I found, I was so shocked how just $20 a month, of money that I didn't have to be accountable or I didn't have to justify. And it was just mine to, when we were on such a strict budget, that $20 felt like I was wealthy. Like it really went so far.
Yeah.
And I think my husband would like your version because he always has this issue where he tries to get like my birthday present before I do the budgeting. Because I always end up finding out
for sure.
You know, if theoretically he could get it in cash, he would, but it doesn't really work out. But yeah, so I think that's, it's really a good idea. And I want to really encourage anyone that is not considered this to seriously consider the idea of some money that each of you can spend, that there's no judgment because it's just not being run by. Because I know that for me, I'll spend it on things that other people might think are silly. And I hear a lot of women who can get, you know, very frustrated because they have a lot of opinions about what their husband is valuing or where he's spending his money. Yeah. But really, if I were to be like, but did you really need that extra special gadget? Or did you really need that 5 cups from Starbucks? Like, you really want somebody breathing down your neck, analyzing every move you make? No. So don't do it to him. And so I think this just sort of, it just sets the stage for you to each be individuals and to just have those little special quirks that are different and don't have to be sort of constantly analyzed and, you know, over constantly being looked at.
Yeah. I think it is really important to have a little bit of like autonomy almost, that is like, I have this and I can do whatever I want with it. And the other person can't say anything because they're over there doing whatever they want with their money. Exactly. So I think that if you don't have joint bank account or a joint bank account, that you're seeing what each other's spending, it's just, it's nice not to have to answer to somebody with just a little bit of money.
Yeah. I mean, even the fact that even though he sees how much money I'm spending on it, just the fact that we have that concept that we each get a little bit of money means that it doesn't even matter that he can see it. It doesn't even matter that I can see what he's spending. It's just like we already built that into the system. So I love that.
Yeah, me too.
And so on this sort of similar topic, what do you recommend for couples that are fighting about money? I mean, I know there can be tons of resentment and frustration over money. So what is your advice?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously fighting about money is super common. And I know you've talked about this before on other podcasts, like bringing two people together that have different ideas is super challenging, especially when you're like, well, this is like, I'm right, so you need to do it my way. And so definitely having a common money goal definitely makes things easier. Like us for traveling, we know that's something we both want to do. And so it's just easier to see the big picture when if you're fighting about money. It's like, come back and remember, oh yeah, we're doing this for this reason. We're doing this to get out of debt. We're doing this to save for a house. We're doing this to travel. We're doing this for a reason. And having someone else to keep you accountable and remind you of your goals. I think the number one thing is just like talk about money. That's so important because money is still super taboo in our society. You know, people don't like to talk about how much they spend or how much they make or whatever. And so just like having super honest conversations about money is helpful. I'm sure there are situations where people, you know, when you're dating, if you are nervous about telling somebody like how much you make or anything like that, how much debt you have, you know, you don't want to go into this, like you definitely don't want to go into marriage blind. So you need to have an idea of how much debt they have, how much money they have coming in so that you guys can make a plan together. And just talking to them, if they do spend a lot of money on something, you know, talking to them about it and telling them how you feel about it and giving them a chance to tell you how they feel about it, because being silently mad does not get you anywhere.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Okay. So I really love that idea of that you really do want to have that common goal. And I totally agree with that it really can help put things in context. And in terms of talking about money, I personally found that was one of the biggest benefits of doing a monthly budget, because even if one of us did most of the sort of heavy lifting of designing the budget, usually that was me, because for whatever reason, I find it really satisfying to sit down and budget.
I totally get it.
You do? Yes. So yeah. It's like stress relief for me to put together a budget, assuming it's not a really scary budget, but and then he would sort of come in afterwards and I would ask any questions that I had, or I would ask, you know, I would sort of run it by him, but it forced us to sit down and look at our money once a month.
Absolutely. And I definitely see that that's one of those things where, you know, if I start to feel stressed out about money, and obviously, like we say in this podcast all the time, that's, I'm having some thought about money, that there's not enough money, or we're not going to be able to pay everything. And then what I do, which is very natural and very common, is then I just don't want to look at it.
Yeah. Right?
But what that actually does totally reinforces, there isn't going to be enough money, because if you're not looking at your money, then it will disappear magically.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do like the saying, you know, if you don't tell your money where to go, it'll leave. Mm. So you need to manage it, because otherwise it will go and you don't know where it will go.
Right. Right. And I think this is definitely one of those things, especially early on in a marriage, you really, really can frame this, as I said before, but it bears repeating, as this, you really have to see yourself as a team. And if you do, it can really, really create such a solid foundation for your marriage, because you're doing something together. You don't have that many opportunities, especially before you become parents, you know, to just sort of partner on something and support each other. And when you have different ideas, I always like to look at my husband, and I have what I call him in my brain. He's going to edit this podcast, so he'll find out. But like, whenever he's saying something that I don't agree with, I call him the outside consultant. So I'm like, it's interesting, because it like gives him a lot of respect, right? Like, an outside consultant is someone who's coming in and you're paying them for their unique perspective. So I'll be like, huh, the outside consultant disagrees with my choices about our money. Like, what? So then I'm immediately curious and I'm respectful and I want to hear, because maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe he does have something to offer. And it puts me in this position of, instead of feeling defensive, like I need to, you know, defend my choices, or, you know, feeling insulted, or all these sort of negative feelings that can come up when you talk about money. Now I'm just sort of, I'm very curious. So I know he has a different perspective. And anytime you want to do something big, the more people, the more brains you can get in on it, the better. So as long as you can collaborate, you can do so much better with your husband's opinions, which ideally will be different than yours.
Absolutely.
Right? Because otherwise you can't do any better than you would have done on your own.
Right. I just wanted to throw in one thing that we do, to remind us of our common goal of paying off debt, is we have a little debt repayment tracker on our fridge.
I wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah, it's literally on our fridge. So we see it multiple times every single day.
Can you describe what it looks like?
Yeah, it's like a little thermometer. And you've probably seen them more commonly like with fundraising goals, where you color it in as you get closer. So, you know, we started at that 26,000, and then the top is zero, and we've been coloring it in all the way up. So it's just like, you see it every single day and it reminds you, like, this is what we're doing. This is our goal. And you watch it get closer and closer.
Yeah. You're seeing your progress too. So it's like, it's not just that number that's still there on the bill. It's that whole goal and that whole progress so far. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's just a nice visual reminder of, you know, what you're doing and what the point is. So, I have that, available on my website as a download. So you can hop over there, and grab that if that's something that you'd like to put on your fridge.
Yay.
Or wherever.
Amazing. And I know that you are an expert when it comes to traveling on a budget. So I wanted to see, would you share a couple ideas for people who are listening? What would you recommend, or the number, I don't know, the top couple of things that they should think about, or that they should try if they want to go on a trip and they are working on their debt payment?
For sure. So I kind of just have a couple of tips. Obviously, it depends on where you go on and where you live, how much it's going to cost you to get there, if you have to take a plane or a train or a car or whatever. But my first tip would be to get a place in the kitchen. And obviously now that's a lot easier with Airbnb being so popular, to rent somebody's apartment or house and be able to get groceries, even if you only buy groceries for breakfast, if you're going to be gone from the apartment all day. You know, breakfast food can be really cheap if you get it from the grocery store, and it can be a little bit expensive if you're going out for breakfast every single day. So, and even just, you know, going to the grocery store and buying granola bars or fruit or whatever that you can carry with you, so you're not turning to a restaurant every single time you're hungry. I find for us, like, food is probably one of our biggest expenses while we're traveling. So being able to cook is, is huge. I definitely would recommend as well looking into public transportation wherever you're going. So it's almost always cheaper. It's in most cities that have public transportation, it's safe and reliable. You know, we've traveled to New York a lot, and we always take the subway instead of a taxi, that sort of thing. It's just, it's way, way cheaper than taking a cab. Of course, walking is always good too. That's totally free, but if you're going blocks and blocks, you might not want to walk. But and then also looking into getting an unlimited card instead of a pay-per-use card for things like subways or buses. If you're going to be using it a lot, usually the unlimited card is a better deal than paying $2.50 or whatever every time you're hopping on the subway. And the last one is maybe a little bit less well known, but there's a lot of free walking tours. Some museums do like a free or reduced price day. That can save a lot of money, and you still get the experience of going to the museum or getting to walk around the city with a local that knows everything is really nice, because they'll point things out that you wouldn't have noticed. So I just doing some research ahead of time can save you a lot of money.
That's great. And now they have you as a resource also for ideas. And I know you have a lot of stuff up on your blog for different places. Can you share what your favorite places to travel?
We're big Disney World people, yeah. I have to say, which is not exactly a budget destination, right. But that's important to us. And we go as often as we can. And we found some ways to save a little bit of money. But we really, really like to check out cities as well. So we've gone to New York quite a bit. It's not too far from where we live in Canada, so that's really nice. But definitely
what's
looking
the trip
forward
from New York to Nova Scotia.
How long?
Yeah.
It's like a 2-hour plane ride.
Oh wow!
It's because we have to drive like up over through New Brunswick to drive. So it would be, it's probably a 16-hour drive, but you can usually get flights, not too expensive, but we're checking out Toronto this summer. So that's weirdly my first time in my own country's biggest city. So
your first time? Really?
It's my first time. I've been to the airport in Toronto, but this is my first time actually going to Toronto, and it's going to be my first time trying out Airbnb. So
amazing.
We'll see how that goes.
Okay, I look forward to sort of watching that journey.
For sure.
Amazing. Okay, well, thank you so, so much. I'm so excited to be able to connect you with my listeners, for them to be able to benefit from all your wisdom, and also so much positivity and such like a calm we can do an attitude. I feel like it's very, very inspiring. I want to go look at my budget.
Yeah, let's go to the budget. It's almost May. That's the perfect time.
You could do like a budgeting party. You should totally do that. Like a, you know, Facebook Live budget a watch party, but everyone's just doing questions together. Sign me up. Perfect. I'm in. Perfect. If you ever do it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kayla. It was really great.
Well. Okay. Bye.
Thanks again so much for listening. I hope you really enjoyed the interview with Jen. If you are looking into the First Year Married course, I just want to give you a heads up that registration closes May 19th. That is just around the corner. So please get your name in there, grab your spot right away. It's going to be an amazing 6 weeks. We're going to be diving into this thought work in a very deep way, and you're going to walk away able to really apply it to your marriage. And during those 6 weeks, you get tons of coaching time with me inside our private Facebook group, where I'll be taking your questions. We have an anonymous question form now, so I don't even know who's asking the question unless you want me to. And we coach on all the things as they're coming up, so you're able to troubleshoot this information as you're learning it. So it's a phenomenal course. I have so much fun with it. My clients have so much fun with it, and I just would really love to have you join. So you can sign up for it at firstyearmarried.com and then click on the link that says the FYM course. And I'm going to see you over there, right? Can't wait. Bye-bye.